Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I am Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. That is the number to reach us as we continue to talk about NFL free agency. And for the most part, we kind of know where everybody's going. There could still be some guys that get traded. I think a lot of fan bases are thinking, well, once we get Trey Hendrickson from the Bengals, that'll complete our defense. I'm still not sure. He's getting moved. We all thought Myles Garrett was getting moved. He obviously did not get moved. There's some trades happening. There's some new guys in new places. There's a lot there's a lot going on, and now it's going to get quiet again, and then we'll have the draft. So, since free agency ended, or is ending, there's still a few things happening. But for the most part, like, you know, Cam Robinson's out there on the offensive line. Obviously, the quarterbacks that are out there, Rodgers, Wilson, maybe even Jameis Winston, Stephon Diggs, Mekhi Becton, Amari Cooper. There's still some guys where you're going to see them sign. Cooper Kupp still unsigned, I believe, as well. So you're still going to see some guys that sign, and you're going to say, wow, okay, that's a big deal. And the later that they sign, the more attention that they'll get. For instance, like Gardner Minshew signing today. We're going to lead off the show with Gardner Minshew. Just like yesterday, we let off the show with Kenny Pickett. Because these are the kind of guys that are signing as of now. I'll just throw some other ones at you. Kyle Allen, quarterback. He was just hanging out at Josh Allen's bachelor party. He is being signed by the Lions. The Chargers are signing Taylor Heinicke. Okay. Alameda Zaccheaus going to the Bears. So he's their new wide receiver 3. He will be joining DJ Moore, Rome Odunze. Remember, he was with the Commanders last year. Laviska Shenault, remember him? He was a former high first-round pick. He's going to be signed by the Bills. Pretty exciting. And there's some other guys that have new teams. I mean, this is where we're at. And we're getting numbers. DK Metcalf's going to wear number 4 in Pittsburgh. Davante Adams is going to wear number 17 with the Rams, his number, but apparently he didn't ask Puka Nacua for it. Puka was already going to change to 12. I don't think for whatever reason. I don't think that for some reason, like Puka Nacua, what number is he? I don't think a lot of people would have got that right. You would have said somewhere in the teens. Maybe you would have floated 80 at it. I don't know. You would have said something. So that's what's happening. That's where we are. So let's take stock of what happened. What happened? Who got better? Who got worse? Who went from not a contender to a contender? Who went from, well, maybe they are a contender, but maybe they're not? And there's still some answers that will be revealed in the coming days. I think over the weekend, we should get some resolution on Russell Wilson. Camera crews were set up to see him in an SUV, leaving his meeting with the Browns. He is going to New York. I believe the Giants also are reaching out to Joe Flacco. So desperate times, desperate measures. I will quickly just bring up, I spent a lot of time on him, not just yesterday, but my entire career. Aaron Rodgers still unsigned. And I am just, part of what I'm trying to do is plead with people to not be surprised that this is happening. And I don't know where my voice will best reach. And I'm just trying for somebody to latch on to it and amplify my take. So I've talked about it on this show. When I have sports minutes that air across the country, I try to get it in there. I try to do it on social media. I try to do it on YouTube. I try to do it wherever I can, just in the hopes that somebody with a bigger audience than mine, impossible, right, says, oh, this Bart Winkler guy's been right about Rodgers the entire time. But no, I just scream. I'm basically screaming into a hurricane. I'm peeing into a hurricane, screaming into a thunderstorm is what I think I wanted to say. Or I could have not said anything like that. You get what I'm saying. I just feel like everyone's still acting like it's a big surprise. It's not a surprise. And I'm not even sure if there are teams that it would suit to have him. So we can discuss maybe Aaron Rodgers a little bit later. But if the topic gets away from us and we talk about other things, there's other things on your mind or whatever, that's fine too. Trust me. It is a passion project of mine to completely, and it's not that I'm trying to diminish Aaron Rodgers anymore. I'm just trying to get you to see him the way I do. That's all I'm trying to do. That's a passion project of mine. So maybe a little bit later. We do have the Bartometer tonight. The Bartometer is going to take a look at some of the teams that were very bad last year, i.e. last place in their division, and who among them has the best chance to win their division in 2025 in the NFL. Now, the teams that did not win their division, the teams that took last in their division, there's some pretty bad, stinky teams that you can't even imagine winning their division, much less going 500, much less winning 7 or 8 games. There's some bad teams in there. But that'll be a fun little exercise, thanks to the Bartometer coming up. So again, free agency, it's starting to wane a little bit. A lot of the big names off the board. We'll still get things that are exciting. If you're one of these people that has notifications on for 15 different insiders, one, stop that. Two, you'll get notifications throughout the weekend and into next week. You're also going to see a barrage of post-free agency mock drafts, which I do find interesting. Again, I'm a big mock draft guy. I am not anti-mock draft guy. I like the exercise of mock drafts. I like to kind of learn about, you know, who's going where. I like to try to play prognosticator. It's a good way if we don't know some of the top guys. Like, there's guys, Will Campbell, LSU, offensive lineman. He might be a top 10 pick. We should learn more about him. You know? Mason Graham, defensive line, Michigan, could be a top 5 pick. We should know more about him. Of course we know the Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Ashton Gentes, Tyler Warrens. Of course we know these guys. But not everybody's going to be in the running back, quarterback, wide receiver, tight end market. We can also take a look at the defense, and we can take a look at the offensive line. And so there's going to be another barrage of mock drafts that come out in the coming week. And then I think what you should do, and by you I mean fans, but I also mean NFL teams, I mean everybody, is don't look at another one until, maybe not until at all. Don't look at another one. Mock drafts will come out, we'll get into them, and then we should be done. But they'll continue to come out over the next 4 weeks, and what happens is, you don't just want to throw a mock draft into the void. So you do crazy things like put Jackson Dart at number 3 or Ashton Gentry at number 1 or drop Shedeur Sanders down to number maybe 2nd round. You do that. And then enough people copy and enough people do it. And then we all go, oh my God, he's moving up the board. He's moving down the board. I don't really think you can. I think that's all a fabrication of the machine. Cam Ward said it best. That's why he's my QB1 in this class. For one thing alone. Cam, why aren't you throwing at the combine? There's 5 years of me on tape. Yes! Yes! There is! Yes! It's like, let's say, one of my first jobs, I was a cart attendant / grocery store bagger. Okay? And if I wanted to apply for another job, what would be good? Should I show them tape of me doing the job I'm applying for? Or should I go to the grocery store and do other random drills that might somehow have an effect? Now, horrible example, but so is the NFL. Gosh, this guy's a great offensive lineman. We really like what we've seen on tape. The way he works, especially in pass protection, is unbelievable. How much can you squat? Huh? Then don't you need to see me? Don't you have it on tape? What I can do? So that season's coming up. We're in really what I think. You look at the NFL calendar, and there are slower times of the year. Post-Super Bowl, really, it hasn't been that slow. It really hasn't. Because you've had the reaction to that, and then you have that weird period where guys want to be free agents before free agency starts, so they have to be cut. And then there's like extensions, and there's a little bit going on. And then you have the combine, and then we're driving right into free agency. So the NFL, a huge topic this week. And then there's going to be a month where there's really not much happening. Pro days will happen. I don't know how much you're going to learn from that. You can't. You go to a pro day and you get enamored and you drop a guy 10 picks up or down either way. Your scouting department's terrible. Sometimes in the summer, you know, maybe June after mini camp or after the rookie camp before the mini camp. But this is the time where it's a little slower. Yet there's so much content because we're trying to get excited for the draft. I would just not try to pay it too much attention. So what does change, right? What does change because of the free agency period? Are there going to be guys and teams at the top that might think differently about what they're going to do? The Tennessee Titans, number one overall pick. They are probably going to go quarterback. I still believe they're going to go quarterback. Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, we don't know. We don't have to for this exercise, but they're probably going to go quarterback. They don't seem to have a big urgency about bringing a guy in. They've got the number one pick. I'm sure there's a lot of different things that they like. I'm sure in the room, and this is barring any trades, but I'm sure in the room, they'll go through exercises. Well, what if we took Abdul Carter? Well, what if we took Travis Hunter? You know, I think they'll go through that. But quarterback probably number one. I don't think the Titans' game plan is unchanged based on what we saw in free agency. The Browns is interesting. The Browns at number two could still go quarterback. Now, they're hosting Russell Wilson. They did today. They brought in Kenny Pickett and told him, you're going to compete for a job. But that means, you know, I don't. That's nice to say, but it doesn't mean like, it doesn't mean, oh, it's going to come down to Kenny Pickett and this other guy, and then we're going to decide the last day of camp. Yeah, you'll be on the field, and there's another guy still we're probably going to sign. If it's Russell Wilson, sure. We'll compete for a job in the same way that Justin Fields did, where Russell Wilson was hurt, so Justin Fields won the job, and then after 6 weeks, Russell Wilson took over as the starter. So if a guy gets hurt, or if he really stinks up the joint, yeah, maybe. Maybe then. The Browns, I could see the argument for them to draft Abdul Carter. Both, had they traded Myles Garrett, or had they kept Myles Garrett, which they did. Which we've talked a lot about it from the Myles Garrett perspective. Hey, you said you were leaving, and then all you did was take the money. You know, everybody's got a price. Wouldn't the Browns have been better off to trade? It seems like with the Browns, where's the future outlook? Where's the future building? This is a team that has won, I believe, one playoff game since they came back from the dead. When the NFL gave them a franchise again after Baltimore left. Have not made the playoffs. Much more than that, they're just always bad. And so you're throwing money at problems. Quarterback, Deshaun Watson, that didn't work. Myles Garrett wants to be traded. Throw money at him instead of, you know, find the best trade value. You've got a pick here. You could get another high pick. You could really start to build something. You could get a quarterback if you want. The Browns, I think there was an avenue to, if they want to dig in, and that's the problem a lot with some of these teams, they don't want to dig in. But if you want to dig in and rebuild, or what are you rebuilding from, start from scratch, they had the means and the opportunity to do that. So that by the time all this Deshaun Watson stuff was off the books, they could then strike again in free agency and have a really good team, a really good contending team. But they decided instead, let's throw money at Myles Garrett. I don't know that that's the best option. You never want to let franchise caliber guys like that walk. But if you're the defensive player of the year, they're not winning a Super Bowl because they brought him back. They could still win five games. He could still very much be the defensive player of the year. Browns are interesting. I don't know that they did anything that's going to deter them either way. Even if they sign Russell Wilson, they may still draft Shadur or Cam if they're there. They may still do that. They still may go defense. They still may do that. The Giants at three, if a quarterback doesn't fall to them there, they could be in the Abdul Carter business. They could be in the Travis Hunter business. I think if you bring in Aaron Rodgers, you're probably telling Rodgers you're starting for the year. Do you want Shadur to have a year as the backup quarterback? I don't know. Do you want Cam Ward to do that? I don't know. Because at some point, I would feel like those guys would beat him out. Or they would deserve to get a look. So the Giants haven't done anything yet. The Patriots are interesting. The Patriots very well may have to draft Travis Hunter. And they've built themselves up on defense through free agency, but they may just have to do it because not for the cornerback stuff, for the wide receiver. Nobody wants to go there. Brandon Ayuk was offered more money to go there last year, didn't want to play wide receiver there. Apparently, per Adam Schefter, our hero, our Lord, our Savior, Adam Schefter, the Patriots were willing to offer $30 million to Chris Godwin. And he didn't want to take that either. They won't go to New England as wide receivers. Even with Drake May being respected enough around the league, receivers, big-time receivers, just do not want to go there. And then at number five in the draft, you have the Jaguars. I don't know that they really did anything crazy. I'm liking the Ashton Jeanty Raiders possible arrangement. The running back from Boise State. Now, they did sign Raheem Mostert. I don't think that deters them from getting this guy from Boise State. And remember, Chip Kelly is running the offense there. So Pete Carroll, the coach, Chip Kelly running the offense. He likes to have a lot of tools in the toolbox. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure that there was anything big time. Like the Titans didn't go out and get Geno Smith. The Giants weren't able to go out and get Sam Darnold. The Browns kept a defensive player, could pair Abdul Carter with him, or could have drafted him to replace Garrett. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure that the mock draft industry needs to rush the reprints after what's happened in free agency. Those are the teams at the top of the draft order, the bottom of the league. Some of the teams that don't draft until later on, I think, did a very good job to improve their lot. Again, you can't win the season in March, but there are some teams that do walk away feeling pretty good about what they were able to accomplish. We'll take a look at those coming up in just a few minutes. 855-212-4227. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Portion of the show brought to you by Hyundai. The Hyundai Getaway Sales Event is going on now. Get deals so right, it almost feels wrong. You can't read that any other way. Get deals so right, it almost feels wrong. No. Get deals so right, it almost feels wrong. That's the best kind of right. But don't wait. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. I've got a little bit of Dallas Cowboys drama for you. So that's fun. They're not a team that I think did that great in free agency. Now, they did make some trades. If you look at everybody and how they did, although Javonte Williams is interesting, only $3 million for him is, but that's the running back market. They got him out of Denver, said goodbye to Rico Dowdle. He goes to Carolina. If you look at teams that this whole period, this whole week, extending guys, signing guys, trading for guys, signing new guys, who are the teams that feel good about themselves the most? Who are the teams that get A grades? I think the Chicago Bears obviously get a lot of attention. They were able to trade for a couple of linemen. They were able to sign another one. They did help their defense a little bit. Grady Jarrett comes from Atlanta. I think they got to feel decent about what they were able to do. They added on the defensive line, and they completely revamped their offensive line. And if you ask any Bears fan what was the big issue, it was the offensive line. They got to protect Caleb Williams. Justin Fields, when they drafted him, he had no offensive line and no weapons. So for Caleb Williams, they say, well, let's give him some weapons. Forgot about the offensive line part. They are trying to change that, and I think they've done a decent job of that. The Kansas City Chiefs, they seem to do all right just because they were able to bring back a lot of guys. Restructuring some deals, making the cap room a little bit more workable, and bringing back guys. We'll see how much it helps. Jalen Moore was their addition at tackle. But I think for what they had position-wise, they feel all right. I think the Vikings, even though Sam Darnold left, the Vikings have to feel pretty good about their overall situation. Minnesota was able to do a couple of things, and really, this team is good. They re-signed Byron Murphy Jr. at corner. They got Aaron Jones back. They were able to get a couple of guys on defense in Jonathan Allen and then Javon Hargrave. So some of the better interior players there, they were able to pick up. And now it's about, what do you think about J.J. McCarthy, who did look good in the preseason last year, albeit the preseason before he got hurt? The Vikings are high on J.J. McCarthy. Whatever we think we know about J.J. McCarthy, if there's anybody out there that says, I believe in J.J. McCarthy, the Vikings believe in him a lot more, which is good for them. But I think they think they've got a team, even without another quarterback, Rodgers, that can be just as good as they were a year ago. They probably won't win as many games. Schedule's tougher across the NFC North. But I think overall in this offseason, and able to keep Harrison Smith was a big one at safety. So I think the Vikings had a good roster last year. For a while, we said, is Sam Darnold just doing this with a good roster? Now we'll see if we say the same thing about J.J. McCarthy. The Patriots, yeah, unable to get Chris Godwin because no receiver wants to go there. No big-time receiver, we'll say. But they did throw a lot of money out defensively, and it made their defense better. Mike Vrabel as the head coach, something to hang his hat on. The Commanders as well. The Commanders able to make some trades. Deebo Samuel didn't give up much for him. Laremy Tunsil on the offensive line, keeping some guys. Resigning a bunch of guys, that was important. And then also bringing in a Javon Kinlaw or Jonathan Jones and some of these other guys to help them out. So there's some teams, certainly, that can feel pretty good about what they've done. Some teams, you know, and there's only so many people to go around, and again, it's a bad free agency class comparatively. Titans, not great. Niners, not great. Eagles let a lot of guys go. Giants, you know, Saints still trying to figure out what they're trying to do. The Texans trading Tunsil, I think, is a big question mark, even though some of the other stuff they did. The Bengals didn't do much, as they're just trying to figure out if they're going to repay their own guys. And again, one of the teams that did not do a ton was the Dallas Cowboys. One of the guys they let get away was DeMarcus Lawrence. DeMarcus Lawrence goes to Seattle. Now, earlier in the week, we found out where guys were going to go. And then now today, we're finding out and hearing from these guys for the first time. So DeMarcus Lawrence in the Seahawks indoor practice facility does an interview with the Seahawks. I believe it's their team media. It's a guy at Hawk Blogger named Brian doing the interview. And DeMarcus Lawrence, excited to be a member of the Seahawks, taking a shot at the Cowboys in the process.
You know, Dallas is my home. I made my home there. You know, my family lives there. You know, I'm forever going to be there. But, you know, I know for sure I'm not going to win a Super Bowl there. So, yeah.
Yeah. We here.
We here. DeMarcus Lawrence, appreciate welcome it. To the Seahawks. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, all right. You know, taking a shot at your old employer, that's great. DeMarcus Lawrence has been with the Cowboys his whole career up until this point. He was a second-team All-Pro guy in 2017, made four Pro Bowls, if that matters to you, but was a second-round pick in 2014 and has been there for a decade and has realized, look, I'm not going to win a Super Bowl here. You probably won't in Seattle either, but he's probably right to say he's not going to win a Super Bowl in Dallas. Very interesting. The Cowboys, you know, there are times when it's all they're in the news. We've talked about them a lot, about that particular thing. They get in the news because Jerry Jones knows how to get them in the news. But it's in periods where, like, nothing's happening. Oh, it's preseason, everybody's signed. No, Jerry Jones is going to take 2 weeks to lock in Dak Prescott and then take another 2 weeks to lock in CeeDee Lamb, and they'll be the topic of conversation for a while. Mike McCarthy should be fired or he's done, but they added this week-long thing where we can still negotiate, so then we end up with a Brian Schottenheimer as the head coach. It seems like when there's space available, the Cowboys will rush to the front of the line to be a part of the conversation. But when there's actual things going on, like the draft or free agency, they were very quiet. Or like the playoffs, which they have a hard time making or having success in. Then they're nowhere to be found. Well, now the free agency period is quieting down a little bit. A lot of names off the board. So we got DeMarcus Lawrence taking a shot at his old team. And then here comes Micah Parsons. This is all very fresh. This is a exchange that has happened within the last hour. And it's not just guys texting each other anymore. We're privy to see it. So that soundbite and part of the interview went out to the world. Micah Parsons, who needs a big deal of his own, Micah Parsons quote tweets the interview and says, "This is what rejection and envy look like. This is some clown SH, you know." So Micah Parsons doesn't take too kindly of this. Okay. Well, then DeMarcus Lawrence responds. "Calling me a clown won't change the fact that I told the truth. Maybe if you spent less time tweeting and more time winning, I wouldn't have left. Smiling devil face emoji." So just like that, they're back. There we go. There we go, Dallas. We missed you. Guys were getting extensions. Free agents were getting signed. Teams were improving. Even in the offseason, teams were hiring coaches that had a track record and weren't, you know, signed through osmosis. Coaches that even Jerry Jones has heard of within the last year. I swear to you, Brian Schottenheimer was on this guy's sideline. He had no idea his name.
Osmosis.
He started to look around after he let McCarthy go. And now it's a little quieter. Dallas, get in front of the line. You always do. 855-212-4227. We'll have the Bulletin Blitz. We'll hear from some more of these guys that have found new homes. Right now, here's an update. It's Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Oh, God! Stokely down the sideline! Can they catch him? Stokely! Wow! Touchdown! Denver! Unbelievable!
The biggest voices in sports.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
The heartbreak.
Touchdown! To knock the Vikings out of the playoffs.
The celebrations.
Manny takes the knee and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions. And Tom Coughlin is a big blue. Erase all of their doubters. They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That's right. It's the Bulletin Blitz here on a Thursday, March 13th, 2025. If you're waiting for me to pick up your call, stay there. I will get you. We're going to lead off right away, Bart. The Rangers defeat the Minnesota Wild 3-2 in overtime.
That's some customer service.
That's right. You know, I'm letting you know in real time and also giving you a hockey score that half the country doesn't care about. Let's really start off with DK Metcalf. He is now a Steeler. They address one of their needs. You know, they needed somebody on the opposite end of George Pickens to open up that offense. I think DK will fit well there. But who cares what I have to say about it? Here's DK himself. He says he fits perfectly in the AFC North.
I'm a physical receiver. You know, big shout out to my pops, who was an old lineman in this league for a little bit. So he instilled that in me, and I just try to play the game a different way. And, you know, just God bless me with the talents and, you know, with this opportunity. So I'm not going to, you know, take it for granted.
DK got paid. He got out of the situation he was in. He got a new situation. So for now, he's excited. He wanted to be in warm weather. Pittsburgh's nice when it's nice, but it's also cold when it's cold. And I think just like a lot of cities across America, East Coast, Midwest, you know, where a lot of the teams are located, it's cold, especially during football season. Okay, but at least he's got, who's throwing him the ball? Let's see. Mason Rudolph's back? All right. I don't know that this ends well. I don't think DK Metcalf, I'm not putting him in diva category yet. He did want out very badly and want to get paid, but a lot of people have done that. But it just doesn't seem like, if I were to bet, will this work out? Will this not? Binary choice? I'd probably bet that it would not.
Yeah, DK, when he was being introduced, spoke about a couple things. We could get into it a little bit later if you like. He did address the quarterback situation, so I am curious to say what he think, rather him hear what he said. Let's go to Indianapolis Colts new QB 1.5, because he's equally distant to being the starter as well as QB 2, and that is the quarterback I refuse to name, but I'll do it so right now, Daniel Jones. He says he's looking forward to competing with Anthony Richardson, who is also QB 1.5.
A lot of respect for Anthony watching him. I think he's certainly a talented young player, and I think you know, the competition aspect of it brings out the best in everybody, and I think we're both interested in helping this team win games and whatever we can do to help that happen.
I really need Anthony Richardson to have an incredible training camp and an incredible start to the season. Because I don't have the appetite to watch how this is going to go, where Richardson starts for a little bit, and then they go to Daniel Jones, and then somebody gets hurt, and then they go to the other guy, and it's the same thing they've been doing, the same thing they did last year. Daniel Jones is probably a good barometer, though. Not a Bartometer, that's coming up. A good barometer in terms of, if our guy can't beat out this guy, then we do need to move on. But I still, with how much they've invested, just the pick alone even, in Anthony Richardson, and he's still so young. He's 22. Like, he could be in this draft class. Why they don't just give him the full red carpet. You start. I don't want him to have to go through a battle with Daniel Jones. I want him to come in with the confidence and see how you react to it. Stop putting him in situations where he's doubting his confidence. He's not doubting his confidence because of things that happened to him from other teams. The biggest hindrance of his success so far has been you, the organization. So please beat him out. Otherwise, this is going to be such an annoying story throughout the season.
He will, because that quarterback sucks. All right. Let's go to Mike McDonald had a team, CS Seattle, and he got a new quarterback, and that is Sam Darnold. Mike McDonald says Sammy D was his top choice all along.
When, you know, it became apparent that we were going to have to pivot away from Geno, then, you know, definitely hoping that it was going to land with Sam. You know, there's some time there, but everyone involved in the process was awesome. John was awesome. Joey Lane was awesome. All of our pro personnel people were on it. So just really fortunate that it worked out the way it did.
We got some feedback there?
No, that's from the audio itself. I also noticed it, and I was like, what in the world?
In Seattle. I mean, what are they going to do? They're gonna go 10-7? 9-8? It should be interesting. Now, he doesn't have DK. Okay, right? So that changes things. I'm curious to see how these things play out. Geno to the Raiders. Sam to the Seahawks. I think Sam's going to look fine. I think what we saw at the end of the year for the Vikings was worse than he really is. And there were some games where he looked really good, and maybe that was too high of a watermark for him. I think that the Seahawks are better to do this than go with Geno. I like the play. I like the approach. But I just don't think that they're going to be much better. We will find out.
Yes, we will. But first of all, you're going to completely drive by my nursery rhyme here. That was great. Mike McDonald had a team. CS Seattle. Right off of the cup. All for you.
See it? How did that didn't make sense. That was like ELGLEAS.
Seattle, you know. What did you want? How would you make it better?
I just simply would not do it.
Well, that's why you're wrong. Yeah. Here is Josh Allen, and maybe according to Bills fans, he does everything oh so right because he got a new contract, so he's getting paid. But apparently, he didn't bleed him out for every dollar possible. It looks like he left a little money on the table, and here he is explaining why.
What's five more going to do for my life that I can't already do right now, right? So, like, it's not that crazy to me, right? Like, I live a pretty good life. Got a house, got a car. We're good. But I wasn't looking to absolutely kill them at every chance that I could, and I told my agent that. I was like, hey, if this has any impact on the pack, or impact on the cap, I should say. Let's figure out a way to not do that.
I mean, that's nice. He also did take a lot of money. It's a $350 million extension, and $250 of that is guaranteed. So he didn't take $60 instead of $55. I guess but who is that extra $5 going to give them? LaVishka Chenaults of the world. If you want to be a real hero, Josh, you should be working for the minimum, right? You want to be a real hero, but also you would never do that. That's the dumbest thing I've ever said. He's making like 98% of the available money instead of 100. Sure, it's better than, you know, fine. I still think it'll pay off with a victory, a Super Bowl victory at some point, so all will be well and good, but let's not interview him like he took half of what he could have gotten. I don't like the premise there.
not the worst thing I've heard. Hey, listen, if it makes fans happy, giving them eyewash, then why not? Good guy. All right, let's switch over to the NBA real quick. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, his Thunder had a win over the Boston Celtics last night. Pretty good game. I watched it. That's
good for you.
That's all the analysis I can give you. It's regular season basketball. However, he did say after the games had beaten the Celtics in Boston,
is massive.
It's huge. Like, just because they've done it, like, because they've done what we're trying to do, the games against them are always going to be heightened. They're always going to be a little bit more exciting. They've, like I said, achieved what we're trying to accomplish, and there's no better test in the NBA. Like, you play for late June, and they're the team that won late June, so playing against them is always fun, always a really big challenge, and something that we get to test ourselves against, and I guess we passed two tests so far.
Well, they needed that test. Like, it doesn't guarantee that they're going to win or even make the NBA Finals, but they needed that test. They ended up winning by 2 possessions, 6 points, but it was a close enough game that it was a good test. In the 2024-2025 season, they've only had, the Thunder have only had, 4 games decided by just 1 possession. And they're 0-4 in those games. So yeah, this was a 2-possession game eventually, 118-112, but they needed, on the road in Boston, a good team, a close game. I think that will help serve them a long way. Will any of these last place zeros become first place heroes in the NFL? The Bartometer next.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.